Okay, Psalm 127. Let's follow along. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Behold, children are an heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. May God add his blessing to this word. And if I could just say that how I came to choose this text, when the Lord spoke to me about preaching, pastor said, don't know what you're going to preach about. So I just thought about our country, the situation, and I thought about my own life and my family. And I just thought somehow if I could just be of help and give some perspective on where we're at, and where we're going, and some encouragement for us as we face these years ahead of us. So I come to Psalm 127 when I begin to say, Lord, now what do you want me to preach? He says, well, what message have you enjoyed more than any others? And I have to tell you, there's one series that I preached that brought blessings to me, to my family, and I hope to others. But I want, you know, our grandchildren are so important to us. Our children are important to us. Now our kids are all growing. Now they've got children of their own. And so here we are. Betty and I have 11 grandchildren. We have two great grandchildren. And any time we're expecting that third great grandchild. So My heart, my concern is for them, for America, for what we're leaving to them. And I know that the only hope, the only help that they have is found in Christ. And so as I began to think about, there was a time a few years ago that I did a series with my grandchildren. I wrote to each of them and I said, now I'm going to do a series of studies about your life and about how to find God's will and how to know what God wants you to do. And I said, I want you to just participate with me. And so anyway, they did. And, I'd put out a lesson and I would expect them to respond back. They would do it, give me ideas and tell me ideas about how hard it was in some areas or something wrong. But I thought, now how am I going to do that? And so I chose Psalm 127 because if they could just get the grasp of this. Now you understand why we need to just win our young people, win our kids, build our families, our homes, and keep them strong for Christ. See, there's been much concern over the decline of the moral atmosphere of our nation. We see things going on, what's happening in the world. And I tell you, the emphasis we've got to make is to stabilize and to strengthen and to give direction to our kids. Let me read to you an article that was written by Howard Hendricks several years ago. He wrote, one of the alarming trends in America today is the gradual disappearance of the distinctively Christian home. This type of home is not merely one where Christ resides, but one where he rules, where Christian truth permeates every area of human experience. One reason for the gradual decline of the distinctive Christian home is that Christian parents are not fulfilling their responsibilities. One mother told me, her minister, said, Pastor, I want you to know that every time the doors of this church are open, my children will be there. And the people was impressed with this remark until he realized the significance. She wouldn't be there, but they would. And so, like this mother, many parents, in effect, take their children to the doors of some church, some evangelical church, and drop them off and say, now you take care of my kids, and you're responsible for them. No, it all comes right back to the home, doesn't it? Because we don't know what's going to happen in the future with the churches. And so it's so important for you to establish a good Christian home. Listen to Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. Moses listed two basic responsibilities of godly parents. And he writes, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command you this day will all be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, shall talk of them when thou sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up, and you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them upon the post of your house and your gates. Teach your children God's words by what we say and do. And so these two commandments are for you to love the Lord with all your heart and to teach your children these truths. And so that's the foundation upon which I dealt with my study with my grandkids. And so each week I'd have them respond to me, now how you doing in this area, you know? It was just a blessing to have them respond back and help me. So those two commandments, to love the Lord and to teach your children. And I'm so thankful for the youth programs. I'm sorry, I always was strong in youth, having had 5 sons. And I'm sorry that my wife is not here, because Betty has been such an anchor to our family. Sometimes I've been busy, you know, out preaching, going on trips and different ministries. She stayed by the stuff, was always there. In fact, I was hoping that today would be on Facebook so my grandkids could watch it, and I would just talk to them, but I know it's not. So you're the victims today. So, but, you know, just to communicate with them and learn the principles of Psalm 127. That's just so rich. But my wife was just, she was such an anchor for the family. She was always there, you know. And can you see, we had 5 sons. Can you imagine one woman living with 5 sons and a husband? The cleaning up of the bathrooms and a few other responsibilities. But, you know, it was life. I told my wife she was fortunate, because my grandpa Byers was one of 9 boys. So she was ready to kill me after that, I think. But, you know, it is just good to see what God does. So, kids, I try to give them something. What's your life worth, you know? What's your goal? What do you want to accomplish? Well, if you study this Psalm 127, you'll see that there's at least 6 things that God wants you to do with your life. So you follow along and we'll look. It says, unless the Lord builds the house. So we're going to talk about building in just a little bit. So I'm going to go on to the next one, and that is, you are an inheritance. He talks about that, you know, that you, in verse 3, Behold, children are an heritage from the Lord. So, kids, do you realize what you are to your parents, to your grandparents? That you are like an inheritance, that they have inherited you. And with that, they inherit that love, the concern, and all the difference that is made there. So, children are an heritage from the Lord. And so, if you don't turn out your life for the Lord, you know what you're doing? You're cheating your parents out of an inheritance. You wouldn't want to spend their money or waste their goods. But if you don't turn out for the Lord, that's what you're doing. And so God wants you to spend your life for Christ. And these are foundation principles. So he talks to us that you are an inheritance. You cannot change the church. You know, we talk about the nation, you know, the church and the family. Well, some people say, well, we got to change our nation. Well, you cannot change the nation without changing churches. Churches are what changes the nation, what stabilizes the nation. So how do you change the church? Well, you can't make the church this or that. You've got to change the family. And so if you can change the family will change church will change the nation. And so when we worship the Lord, we realize that it's only through His grace and power. We have to start with foundation things first. And you start with the children. And so if you can found the children, give them a solid ground, then you will change the family. If you change the family, you're going to change the church. If you change the church, you're going to change the nation. And what's happening is you see everything just caving in, going down. And I suggest that there may come a time when you will not be able to go to church. That's why these small groups are a good thing, a wonderful thing. You should be involved in it. Get in a small group if you can. Because there may come a day soon when you will not be able to gather. We kind of experienced something like that already. So we don't know what's ahead. So you need to belong to a small group so you can grow in Christ and help others as well. And so you see the nation is helped by the church. The church is helped by the family. The family is helped by individuals. And so we talk about the foundations and the purpose of the grandchildren. Now look at Psalm 127, and you'll see let's start with verse 3. Behold, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. And so it talks, the children are like arrows. And have you seen a little video called Your Children Are Arrows? And it's an illustration of how the youth are like an arrow. And so children are like the arrow, the quiver, you know, in the hand of an archer. And so the arrows are like your life, if you can learn the lessons of an arrow. So remember this, that an arrow is never of its own. The arrows are chosen. And the man who has the arrows will choose one arrow. He has a purpose. He may be saving an arrow for one specific purpose. And maybe there's an animal that he wants to kill or something. And so he wants to make certain. So he's going to want an arrow that is straight, that is pointed, it's sharp. and that is long enough that it can put the power behind it. And so he's going to use that, he's going to choose that arrow. Now God's preparing you, and just like an arrow is prepared for the archer to use, God's preparing your life for something. And I hope you understand the importance of making sure that, you know, if you're crooked, what kind of an arrow are you going to be? How reliable? If you're an arrow, you know, you want to be straight and long, and you want to be true, so that archer that chooses you is not going to say, "Oh, that arrow disappointed me, curved off to the difference." And sometimes God puts you through the training program. You know, he wants a good straight arrow. And you wonder why God does certain things in your life, makes things hard for you. Well, it's because God's trying to toughen you or prepare you. And sometimes even just the rough edge of an arrow will cause enough friction that will make the arrow depart from its course. And if God puts you through trials and hardships and things happen that you don't understand, then you understand that it's because God has a purpose with your life. And that's true with every one of us, not just with youth. God brings things into our lives that we don't understand, and things that I don't comprehend and will not know until glory. But I know this, that God has a purpose for it. Times I've had flat tires, times I've run out of gas, times I've had problems and difficulties and been ill. God has a design and a purpose, because that arrow has to be tested and proven and made straight. And so you have to be an arrow. You want to be an arrow. Then you look, it says that you are chosen. You see, if you are a Christian, God has properly chosen you. You did not choose God. He chose you. From the foundation of the world, God knew you, knew when you would live. And he said that, "I want you. I have a purpose for your life." Just be available for God to use. And just to see our young people give their lives to the Lord. So be an arrow. And let God choose you. The next thing has to do with direction. If you're an arrow, you know you want a target. What's the target of your life? Where are you going? Now, I'm talking to adults, because some of you still, like me sometimes, I don't know things about my life. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to be like with my wife or my children or my grandchildren. But I just know that my purpose is to live for him. And I want him to remove anything that's going to make me sway or serve or fall. I want to be found true to him. And I want to hear him say, "Well done." And young people, start out your life. Let God change you. Let him give you a purpose for living. And so it's the direction. What direction is your life going? What do you want in your life? Become rich? What do you want in your life? Become famous? What do you want in your life? Just to hole up somewhere and be a recluse or something? God has a purpose for you. You are made in his image. He chose you. Now he's directing your life. And so it's also a purpose of power. You will learn whatever goal you put in your life or wherever you're going. You have no power of your own to do that. You have to allow God to do it for you and through you. And so great is his power. Great and mighty is the Lord. You'll come to points and times in your life when things are hard and you don't know how you can go on. There have been times I've said, "Well, I've got to quit." And my wife would say, "Well, okay. Well, no, I can't quit, you know." So keep going. No matter if God gives you a goal for it, Someone said, if God has chosen you to be a servant for Him, never stoop to be anything else, not riches or anything else. And then there's the power of the fulfillment of your life by riches and success. If that's all your life is to be, then you have much to work on. There's an inheritance, there's builders, and you are workers. And so you follow through in Psalm 127. It talks about building your house, how you build it. And so you are workers, and learn to have a good work ethic. Spend time, you know, at your job, and always leave with an attitude that you're going to, you know, leave a good record, that you've been a good worker and worked hard. Now, I'm talking more to young people, but I hope I'm talking to adults as well, because these things are true in our lives as well. And so we are keepers. And you see there how they keep the gate there at the end. Then you see that they are messengers and they are blessers. And that's why I had this with my grandchildren. And so we identify with our grandchildren. In our eyes, you know, you're more than anything else to us. And what a joy it is. So those are some things I wanted our grandchildren to know. And so keep your life straight, keep it pointed, and keep it going for the Lord. So it says, unless the Lord builds the house. You see that? You see in verse 1, it says, unless, and unless the Lord builds the house, unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. That means empty. And some of us adults can testify that sometimes I have spent some vain years, some empty years. But oh, for that joy to hear Him say, well done. So it's vain. It's useless for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so He gives His beloved sleep. And so you see, being able to rest at night, lay your head on the pillow, otherwise you have an empty day. You come home and what have you done? It's empty. But if you've done it for the Lord, it may be anything. But if you've done it for the Lord, then it'll have a reward. So you and I are there to know that. And then you are builders. And so he talks about being builders in verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house. Now think about your life being like a house. And the first thing you do is lay the foundation. Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And maybe you're here today, and maybe you've spent your life and built on a foundation of wealth or fame or riches or anything else. But if your foundation is not in Jesus Christ, you will crumble and the house will fall. So have a good foundation. And you need a foundation because everything rests upon the foundation. Without the foundation, the walls will crumble. Without the foundation, the roof will cave. So make sure that your life is built on a solid foundation. And then you need walls. You know what walls are, because you do have enemies. Walls are those things that will destroy us. The enemies are out there. You need walls, not only to keep the enemy out, but you need walls to keep the enemy in. That's why as a family we always had our devotions every night with five boys, and we sat down to the table to eat. And, you know, the boys said that they thought that we always said, amen at the Thanksgiving prayer to just to give them all an even start so they could start reaching and grabbing. But God provides, He supplies, and to give thanks to Him. And your walls keeps the enemies out. But let me tell you, walls of love also keep the family in. If you're going to have a family that stays together, there's got to be walls of love. And sometimes I've said, my son, I love you, and I don't want you to do that. And sometimes the rebuke and the discipline sometimes was not pleasant. But you know, it was love. It was love because I love them and I want them to make the most of their lives. So here we are with the gospel, and we are to build our walls. But build your house also. When you build your house, build it with windows. Because there are some families that have no windows. All they want is the security of the roof over them, the walls, and the foundation. And you know, they have no windows to look out. Do you know, it's such a beautiful world out there. Hasn't God done a great job? Has He done wonderful things? Just stand out some night and just look up at the stars. As a boy, I remember one of the fond memories I had as a boy was with my mom and dad. It'd be a hot summer night. You know, we didn't have air conditioner or anything like that. We had a little green fan about that big around. And so if we stayed inside, so there were nights when we'd take a blanket, spread it out in the lawn, you know, and lay there and get the cool night air and just look up at the stars and talk about, you know, the heavens and how they're made, the glory of them. But those were good memories. I'm thankful for my parents. Just laying out there on that blanket, looking up. No, you know, you couldn't have a radio out there because you didn't have an extension cord that long. And it was just so great to realize that vast heavens had a designer and a maker and a purpose for it all. And when you take time to just look at God's work, look at Him. So you need windows where you can look out and you see the beauty of the heavens. But look out and look at the trees, the flowers. Do you ever just walk through and just say, oh, what great work God does? Kids need to know that it's not just something that happened. God designed it. God designed this world we live in, the heavens, the galaxies, the stars. God put it all together. And you know what? God looks at your life, and He's putting your life together too. He has a purpose for it all and a reason. And so build your life for the Lord. And so you see that's the answer. Build your walls with windows. Because when you look out, you're going to see a vast world. This is a big world we live in. Around you are people on their way to a Christless hell. Around us are people that God made to worship and designed to honor Him. And we see the world has just totally forgotten Him, ignored Him, lived their lives as though He didn't exist. But God goes with us every day. You never go anywhere but what God's not there taking record, and He'll honor your obedience, and He will chasten and discipline you for your disobedience. So what a great God we serve. Well, I could go on, but it says, the fruit of the womb is His reward. And so you and I look at this world, and you know, we are here because we are fruit. Fruit of our parents, fruit of our families, and fruit of the Lord. God loves you. I don't know. I wasn't brought up in a Christian home. I had a home that loved me, but without Christ? Are you here today without Christ? Do you know for certain, absolutely for sure, that you have been born again? I didn't ask you if you were baptized or catechized or anything else, but do you know of a time when you experienced that new birth, that forgiving of your sins, and the coming of the Holy Spirit into your life? Well, He changed my life. And so, do you love the Lord? He's coming. I pray that He'd find us faithful. So I appreciate being able to fill in for the pastor. Oh, he's such a great preacher. I love the book of the Revelation he's bringing to us. And I'm sorry that I'm getting older. Betty and I have been married, January will be 64 years. And God gave us 5 sons, 11 grandchildren, 3 great-grandchildren, and I'm ready to go. My wife would be here. She never missed a service. She was always there. If I was there, she followed me around the country to Bible college and seminary and different churches and sacrificed herself. She was always there. Prayer meeting, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And you know she'd be here if she could. Would you pray for her and pray for me that God help me to be faithful? I don't know. I find that my ministry mostly now is writing. I can write better than I can preach. So I hope you love the Lord. Would you just bow with me in prayer? Just look at your own life. Are you living a fulfilled life? You're living a life that's, you know, got God's blessing on it. You know, that obedience and that joy of closing your eyes at night, knowing even if you'd hear Christ call you home, you're ready. Maybe you're here and you've never been born again. Maybe you've been brought up in a Christian home, had teaching or something, maybe did something, but you've never really been born of the Spirit of God. And so if you'd like to talk to me about that, or I can help you in any way, you just see me. I'll be back at the door. So, do you love the Lord? Our Father in heaven, I thank you for your mercies and grace, and Lord, that you've been so good to me. And you've been good to this church. And we just pray your blessing now. And Lord, if there's one here without Christ, we pray that they come to you and know personally that they have you in their heart. So we ask your blessing in Jesus' name. And Lord, please grant healing to the pastor. We need him. We love him. Pray your strength for him in Jesus' name.